Why are Hispanics now the largest minority group in Wisconsin? New census information shows Hispanics make up 6.34% of the population in Wisconsin. The second largest minority group, African Americans, make up 6.26%. We'll talk about this demographic shift and where it's headed and what it means for Wisconsin. And we will talk with several Hispanic Wisconsinites about their life experiences in Wisconsin. The good and not so good, and what they think would make life better for them and the state as a whole. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will also welcome your questions and experiences as our ongoing series on diversity in Wisconsin continues. We did a similar hour on the African American experience in Wisconsin. Back in May, we talked about the Hmong experience in Wisconsin last month, and this month, taking a look at the experiences of Hispanics in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. Enrique Figueroa is an associate professor and director of the Roberto Hernandez Center. He is also the assistant to the provost for Latino Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being with us. I'm going to give you a really basic question right off the bat. Should I be referring to the Latino experience in Wisconsin or the Hispanic experience in Wisconsin?
Well, I think whatever preference you have is either one, I think, would be fine. I personally use the term Latinos. I teach a course called Introduction to Latino Studies, and we have a Latino Studies certificate major, so that's the term that I use, but I think both of them are interchangeable.
And it is the term the census uses is Hispanic, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, first, your tell us your reaction to this recent news that Hispanics are now the largest minority group in Wisconsin.
Well, we knew it was coming. I mean, Latinos surpassed the African American population nationwide some years back. So, and in a number of states, that's been the case. So, I actually thought that it was probably going to be 1 year later here in Wisconsin. But we're not surprised. I mean, if you extrapolate the growth patterns of both populations, you would see that they were going to cross at some point. So,
yeah. So, why is the Hispanic or Latino population increasing in Wisconsin specifically? I guess and the African American population in Wisconsin decreasing.
Well, I don't know whether the African American population is decreasing. I suspect that it's increasing, but it's decreasing at a slower rate than the Latino population. The Latino population is mostly increasing now in the state of Wisconsin from what we call native-born as compared to immigrants. In the decade of the 90s, there was a surge of immigrants. So now those individuals are having children, and the relative rate at which Latina women have more children than non-Latinas is slightly higher, so you would expect that the increase in the Latino population would be forthcoming, and that will continue. The demographic projections is that it will continue certainly for the next 10 years and perhaps beyond.
And basically because of the birth rate?
Mostly because of the birth rate, yes. Now, depending on what happens with immigration reform, we'll see more or less immigrants, but there's still a large base of Latinos here in the state of Wisconsin as well as across the country. And those individuals will continue to have babies.
So a general question now, what is the significance of the increase in the Hispanic population?
Well, one is that I think that more people are going to probably pay more attention to the Latino population simply because it's now the largest minority population in the state. Two is that there's going to be probably more interest in the educational attainment of Latinos because we're a relatively large number of share of the population if you're 18 or younger. MPS, I think, has now about 22 or 23% of their students are Latinos. in California, the majority of the people that are under 18 are, more than 50% are Latino. So we're a relatively young population, so I think the need for educational resources to be adequately provided, I think, is probably the number one issue that we're going to face,
and
given our dropout rates in high school.
So can you give us an idea of what sort of attention educational attainment needs?
Well, I think we need probably more culturally competent teachers and administrators. One of the things in the Latino population that is unusual or different than the African-American is that we also have a language issue. A lot of parents are still either monolingual or Spanish-dominant individuals, so there needs to be an ability to talk to parents in their language. So I think we need more individuals that are bilingual in our whole educational structure. Two is that I think we need people to realize that 10 years out, 20 years out, a large segment of the Wisconsin labor force are going to be Latinos, and thereby that we need to be able to invest the resources to make sure those individuals are productive, tax-paying individuals.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk some about the importance of, if it is very important to the Latino population in Wisconsin, to the DREAM Act legislation, and in Wisconsin we had it for a short time, no longer. There have been some recent protests to revive the in-state tuition for the children of undocumented parents in Wisconsin, as long as those children grew up in Wisconsin.
Yes, Governor Doyle signed the DREAM Act, and it was in place for 2 years. And Governor Walker, his administration, repealed that. So similar to other states across the country, there's, 13 states that now have in-state tuition statutes. So there is a number of individuals, students, that are affected by this directly. Within the Latino population, people feel strongly that, you know, this is something that most of these kids have spent most of their lives in the state of Wisconsin. They did not make the choice to come here. Their parents made that choice for them. They're good students. In fact, there's some dreamers, we call them dreamers, that have been valedictorian. So it's not a matter of extending any kind of special treatment for them. They've earned their ability to be admitted, say, for example, to a UW college. It's the barrier, the economic barrier, that they have to pay out of state tuition that is preventing them from enrolling.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts to share with us about another issue in the news, and that being the undocumented, unaccompanied children that are coming into the United States from Central America and are now communities, Milwaukee and Madison, are looking for places to shelter these children?
Well, I think it's a very difficult issue. On the one hand, we are a country that cares about individuals' well-being, from a humanitarian perspective. A lot of these children are coming here either to unite with their families or fleeing violence in their home countries. On the other hand, we want to make sure that we don't open the floodgates, in the sense that if people realize that they can just come here and claim some reason for being here, it would overwhelm our systems of treating them, as we're currently noticing, that Madison and Milwaukee may be places where some of these children may be sent. So I think it's a very difficult issue. I don't know, quite frankly, how it gets resolved in any time soon, but I hope that the home countries that start doing something about dealing with their own population so that they don't have to be coming to the United States.
So what are some other important issues facing Latinos in Wisconsin?
Well, as I mentioned, I think the number one issue is access to education, that we have a large number of 18-year-olds or younger that are in the pipeline that are going to be coming through the system, that we need to make sure that they have good education, because they are going to be a large segment of the workforce into the future. Two is economic development. There is still a large segment of the Latino population in the state that is not middle class, probably poor, so that we need some ability to develop our neighborhoods, There's a large number of Latinos that are establishing businesses. There's an entrepreneurial streak to us, but we still need to do more. And then thirdly, as it's been, as you just mentioned in the press, I mean, immigration reform is a very important issue. I hope that we do have comprehensive immigration reform in the foreseeable future, because people need to come out of the shadows. And indeed, a large number of the undocumented folks are productive workers here in the state of Wisconsin, and they're contributing to the economy.
Before we move on, and we're going to talk to a number of Latino or Latina residents living in Wisconsin that you recommended we might want to contact for this series, and
sure.
We'll be talking to a handful of other Hispanics about their Wisconsin experience. But what about yours? What brought you to Milwaukee?
I got a phone call. I was living in Northern Virginia. I'd been a political appointee in the Clinton administration at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And I got a phone call from the chair of the search committee for the director of the Roberto Hernandez Center and asked whether I was interested in applying. And I pursued that and came to that interview. And I liked, back then, the chancellor was a woman named Nancy Zimfer. And the provost, and I met a number of Latino leaders here in town, and I said, okay, well, this seems like something I could do. So I've been here 12 and a half years now, and I like it very much.
Yeah, what's good about Milwaukee?
Well, I tell you, given the harsh winters, it's really nice to have days like yesterday and today.
Yeah, it's beautiful today.
I mean, I grew up in California, so the weather is quite different from when I was growing up. But I like the selection of restaurants, the things that you can do from a cultural perspective, an arts perspective. I think people are quite friendly for the most part. So I'm a happy camper here.
Well, is there, though, talk a little bit about, if there is, a negative to being Hispanic in Milwaukee?
Well, I mean, there's still a good amount of, I shouldn't say a good amount, there's still a reported cases of discrimination that people feel, whether it's overt or more subtle. People don't feel like as completely accepted in certain quarters. I would assume that. Our population is still fairly concentrated in the south side and the near south side. So I think that there is that kind of sentiment. We do need to be more organized, more present in our voting. A large number of ours still do not vote in the state. We need to exercise that right and privilege so that we can become more politically active and powerful, if you will. And I think that from an economics perspective, a large number of Latinos are in the workforce, but we need to have the ability to move up in the ranks so that we start joining the middle class.
Well, coming up, we will talk with a Hispanic resident living in Milwaukee who has plans of starting her own business. And we will hear from a number of others who will tell us about their experience living in Wisconsin. And we welcome your questions for all of our guests, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Enrique Figueroa will stay with us for the entire hour. He is an associate professor and director of the Roberto Hernandez Center, and he is also the assistant to the Provost for Latino Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Our ongoing series of Diversity in Wisconsin continues with a look at the Hispanic population in Wisconsin, now the largest minority in Wisconsin, making up over 6% of the population. We will, throughout the hour, talk to several Hispanic Wisconsinites about their life experiences in Wisconsin, and we welcome yours, too. Are you Hispanic living in Wisconsin? Do you have a story to tell? Do you feel your culture is acknowledged? Do you experience discrimination? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our next guest. Erica Villaforte has lived in Milwaukee for more than a decade. She is an independent insurance agent and is currently starting her own nutrition and wellness business. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. Well, you certainly have the entrepreneurial spirit that Enrique was talking about, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, what it's like starting your own business in Milwaukee.
It's a challenge, but it's definitely something that I'm passionate about. So, it's just really exciting, and I'm in the very beginnings of it. So, I still haven't experienced too many hurdles, but right now it's all exciting and just good things to come, hopefully.
Yeah. So tell us what brought you to Milwaukee, what you like about Milwaukee.
What brought me to Milwaukee was my parents. My parents moved here from Mexico, and we did live in Illinois for a little bit and then came back to Wisconsin because they just loved Wisconsin more. And I just love the community, the people that I've met here have been very welcoming. So it's just a really, really good place to be, and I enjoy staying here.
But you did mention to my producer that at least one time you felt out of place in some neighborhoods?
The one thing that I do notice, and it's no secret to people in Wisconsin, is you can travel different communities and you do notice there's, you know, a strong culture of this type in one community and then a strong culture of that type. There is certain neighborhoods that aren't very diverse. So it's not that I felt out of place, I just tend to notice that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's the issue of segregation is apparent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we still have a long way to go, but I do think we're making, you know, strides towards improving that, but there's still, you know, a lot to do there.
So what is there an issue of particular importance to you, Erica, in terms of your life, your experience in Wisconsin, that, you know, something that's most important to you?
Just that comes to mind right away is the business that I'm trying to start. I do believe it's, you know, not just in Wisconsin, but that's where I'm located right now. And I see a lot of need for nutrition education and wellness, and because we do want to get ahead professionally. But if we're not healthy, we're not going to last very long in our professions. So that is something I'm really passionate about, getting the word out to our Wisconsinites, especially in the Latino community.
Yeah. So is there a particular health issues are of particular importance to the Latino community?
We do have a high prevalence of diabetes. My goal is to just educate in health in general to prevent diabetes, but that is, you know, one of the highest communities that do get diabetes is the Hispanic community.
Yeah. And tell us why you are encouraging your children to stay in Milwaukee.
Number one, because mom's here, so I would love for them to stay here. But I do believe it's a very friendly community. You know, there is the negatives. Everybody experiences that once in a while. But I think that would be in any state. Of course, our festivals, our music festivals, my children love music and they get that from me. You know, we have our brewers. We have it's just a friendly place. I feel like there's a lot of growth happening that's going to make our future a lot brighter for them. So I tell them all that to hopefully encourage them to stay.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that. Why do you think the growth in the Hispanic community is going to make their lives better or different?
Speaking from my experience, as I was growing up, I didn't see many professional Latinos, if you will. Most were blue-collar workers, you know. So I think having better role models is going to make it easier for them to be more successful.
Yeah, wonderful. And is there anything that you know, maybe it's no secret that most of our listeners on Wisconsin Public Radio are not Hispanic. Is there, I don't know, anything, a misconception that you would like to help clear up, a message about the Latino community that you would like to share?
You know, there's a lot, so it's really hard for me to pinpoint just one. Just basically, we're all just here, you know, trying to live, you know, amongst every culture, and I don't think we should really just point out one thing that we want to make better. Just everybody should just try to get along, and that's really all there is to it.
Sounds good to me. All right, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that was Erica Villafuerte. She has lived in Milwaukee for more than a decade, an independent insurance agent, and is currently starting her own nutrition and wellness business. We will continue to visit with, talk with a variety of Latino or Latina residents of mainly southeastern Wisconsin throughout this hour. But we would love to hear from you, too, if you are Hispanic living in Wisconsin and would like to share your story about what it's like living in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And let me, I guess I'm in between our residents of the southeastern Wisconsin, Hispanic residents. I will also bring in our guest who will be with us for the entire hour, Enrique Figueroa, an associate professor and director of the Roberto Hernandez Center. And I'm wondering if you can just reflect on what you heard Erica tell us and whether you just had any reaction or response to her, I guess, her being an entrepreneur.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, Joy, is that the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in the Latino community, not only here in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout our country. And in fact, I think I'm correct in citing this following statistic, is that the Latina women as a group are the number one group in starting new businesses in the country in percentage terms. So you'll see more and more businesses created in the state of Wisconsin by both women and men, Latinos. The other thing that I want to mention is that you touched upon it, Joy, in this issue about the sense of belonging. Anyone, whether you're Latino or not, wants to have a sense of belonging in your community, in your school, in your church or whatever. And this is related to how individuals form their sense of identity. And in the Latino community, this formation of identity is sometimes difficult, sometimes easy, but we are straddling two cultures, whether we're straddling them as young children or as more teenagers or adults when we come to this country. But schools play an important role in assisting and providing materials so that individuals can form their own identity based on a good set of information about who they are and what their ancestors are. It's very important, I think, for individuals that are here in this country to feel they belong. And one of the ways that you feel like you belong is because you feel that you have a good identity, a good sense of who you are and how your place in the society is.
We will welcome in our next guest. Bernie Gonzalez joins us. He grew up in Waukesha. He served in the Army and now works as an insurance broker. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks very much for being with us. So what's it like living in Waukesha?
Well, I came in the early 90s, and at the time there wasn't very many Hispanic people. There were a few families in the Waukesha community. I remember going to church, and everybody knew each other. So it was a small community. At times it was difficult while growing up in school. Obviously, when you go to different classes and you're the only one there, it is difficult to fit in addition to the language barrier that I had while I was growing up here. But, you know, over the years, community has changed. And when you go to church now, and I'm talking about St. Joseph Church, now, it's full, and, you know, not everybody knows everybody, because there's so many of us. But, it's presented its challenges, but it's also had some good memories growing up here.
Talk a little bit about, any stereotypes that you had to deal with growing up or maybe still deal with today.
Yes, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, growing up, you know, at times when you're different, sometimes, you know, you're not accepted, you know, right away. And, you know, if you look different, I mean, people are going to look at you different and, you know, therefore you're going to feel a little awkward. And, you know, growing up, you know, like I said, you know, there wasn't many of us. Sometimes people are not used to seeing other types of people. And, I think that's where it comes about, you know, feeling a little awkward and sometimes intimidated.
Yeah, do you feel as though, I don't know, those stereotypes of Latinos are not present very much anymore, or are they still there?
So I guess the way I understand the question is, you know, some of the stereotypes. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we tend to, you know, stay within our own little community, and we don't go out there and participate as we should sometimes in, like, in the PTOs and the different organizations in the community. And, you know, obviously that needs to change.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what you think of the area, the Milwaukee area, needs to do to work on as a city.
Well, Milwaukee, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of need. You know, Milwaukee is very interesting because there's different types of community as far as there's people that have been here for a long time that are, you know, somewhat assimilated or understand how everything works. But there's also a large number of people that are, you know, not, you know, they haven't been here or lived here very long. So there's different types of needs. I think there's a lot of need in financial literacy. There's needs in a lot of needs in education. You know, so there's quite a bit of needs in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and you know, you live in Waukesha. Are the needs much different in Waukesha than Milwaukee?
Yes, well, Waukesha tends to be a little bit different, but at the same time, there's similar needs. For instance, Waukesha does have the Latino population does have a high percentage under the poverty level, you know, and some of the schools here, we don't have the same support as Milwaukee as far as, you know, the bilingual departments, maybe schools that focus. The only one school that we had at one time that was fully, you know, bilingual, that had a really large number of students was White Rock, and that school was, you know, was closed. And I don't think the school district knows how to properly deal with some of our kids.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, is there anything else that that you can think of that you'd like our audience to know, or that that you think you know, we ought to change in Wisconsin to go ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's very important for everybody to know that we want to contribute to the community. We want to contribute to the economy, and one of the ways that we could do that is if we support the immigration reform. I came here when I was young. I'm not the only example, but somebody that likes to work hard, that served, and that wants to create jobs, opening a business. I think there's a lot more like me, and some people are kind of stuck and they don't know what to do because of their status. And I think it's very important for people to understand that we don't want any freebies. We just want to work hard and try to achieve what you know, any normal citizen can achieve here.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bernie Gonzalez is a resident of Waukesha and works as an insurance broker. We'll talk to some other Latinos living in Wisconsin, and we will welcome any questions that you might have. Maybe your own story. Maybe you are also Latino living in Wisconsin. Is there something you'd like our audience to know? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Our ongoing series of Diversity in Wisconsin continues this hour, talking about the Hispanic experience in Wisconsin during this hour. Hispanics are now the largest minority in Wisconsin, making up more than 6% of the population. Decided to focus in on life in Wisconsin for Hispanics. During this hour, we talked with African Americans about the African American experience in Wisconsin. In May, in June, we looked at the Hmong experience in Wisconsin. Next month, we might look at the Native American experience in Wisconsin. But right now, Hispanic life in Wisconsin. Our guest who's been with us all hour is Enrique Figueroa. He is an associate professor and director of the Roberto Hernandez Center. He is the assistant to the provost for Latino affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And I wanted to ask you, since we have an email from Marie, she writes, how can school staff best support Latino students? Additionally, how can we encourage students to pursue academic success who are undocumented and have a sense of hopelessness? I want to take a shot at that, Enrique.
Yes, thank you. Look, the things that you can do with young kids to encourage them to become more successful academically is, one, certainly you have to reflect a genuine caring for their well-being. I think that's more generic. But embedded in that is that if you have a sense of some cultural understanding that these kids are coming from in their homes, facilitates those individuals having greater motivation if it's spoken to them in terms that they are more culturally relevant. Certainly visiting with parents and encouraging parents to be supportive of their children. And then finally, you know, one of the statistics that I saw sometime about last year is the number of books that are written and used in elementary schools that have Latino characters in them, particularly from a literature perspective, is relatively small. So we need to go out and find some of them that exist and then start incorporating them into your curriculums. With regards to encouraging individuals that are undocumented for them to continue to pursue and not lose hope, look, nobody can take your education from you. You're a better person because if you're well-educated, you're going to lead a more robust life. You're going to lead a more enriching life, the greater the education you attain. So I would not discourage anyone from getting an education. We will eventually have comprehensive immigration reform in this country. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but I would think that it's certainly within the next 5 years we'll have comprehensive immigration reform. And I think we'll have provisions that allow for the undocumented folks that are here today to enter some pathway to become legal residents of this country. So there is no need to lose hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Let's welcome in our next guest. Our next guest is a lifelong Milwaukee resident and works for the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services as a bilingual family support specialist, Jo Marie Caloriano. Caloriano. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Jo Marie, good morning.
Good morning to you and all to your listeners.
And will you pronounce your last name for me?
Actually, my full name is Jo Marie Caloriano.
Okay. So tell us your experience in Wisconsin.
My experience in Wisconsin stems from the 1980s. My parents were part of the transnational migration from Puerto Rico to Milwaukee, and throughout the years, they made Milwaukee their home and raised myself and my two other siblings in the south side of Milwaukee. So our experience comes from being able to leverage our identity as Latinos, as Puerto Ricans, as part of the Latino community in the south side. And I was able to be part of all the different grade levels in Milwaukee public school system. So I'm a product of that education. And I've been able to continue on my education right now. I'm currently a graduate student through UWM in the School of Education, pursuing my master's in cultural foundations of education with a focus on underrepresented students in higher education, educational policy, and social justice.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk some about the segregation in Milwaukee and whether that has had an impact on your life?
Yes. The segregation in Milwaukee, I think that's a limiting factor. I think that it prevents the community from being able to channel in a lot of the strength that it possesses. And I think it creates unnecessary divisions, and it also generates a sense of competition between all the different ethnic groups. And I think the segregation, like I said, is pretty limiting in that aspect. And I think that also prevents our community from being able to grow and being able to remove itself from a lot of the news reports that speak of Milwaukee in such a bad light.
Yeah. So what is the one thing you would like people of non-color to know about life in Milwaukee as a Latina?
I believe that life in Milwaukee as a non-Latina, it can be comparable to any other group. We are a community that likes to challenge ourselves. We seek opportunities. We seek personal growth. We seek being part of the community. We seek developing the community, developing economic growth in the community. So I think that's a really important factor about being a Latina in Milwaukee.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And let's bring in a caller who is online. Sal in Madison is with us. Hi, Sal.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good morning. Would like to say hello to Enrique, my good friend Enrique Figueroa. I just want to make a couple of comments. Everything that Enrique has said is absolutely right on target. The Latino community is growing everywhere. Our school districts many times don't know. It's not that they don't want to. They are eager to try to help our community, especially our English language learners, but they don't know how. They don't have the resources or the expertise. Milwaukee, Madison in particular, because of the history of the population growing in these places, actually has a little more resources. But we go a little out of Madison or Milwaukee, you know, some of the suburban areas, some of the districts in rural areas, and they really don't have the resources or the know-how to support our kids. And that's in particular very important because, as you know, the Common Core standards are going to be implemented soon. And in order for our kids to be able to be successful, those standards are going to have to take into consideration, as Enrique mentioned, not only their cultural background, but also the linguistic background. Linguistically, it's very important that students maintain their language, in my opinion. Both for scientific reasons, research has shown that two languages actually create these pathways in the brain that are going to allow them to be more successful. But on the other hand, it will open many, many doors, as Enrique was mentioning. As the population grows, bilingualism is going to be extremely important, not only to compete here in the country, but to compete globally. One of the callers mentioned the issue that support and how can we support the kids in the best way in the schools. And I think in Madison and other places, we have been developing dual language immersion programs that takes the language that the kids have, maintains it, makes it better, and at the same time provides other communities the opportunity to also learn a second language. So those are some of the things.
Thank you very much, Sal. Let me get a response from Enrique.
Well, thank you very much, Sal. I appreciate your greetings, and thank you very much for your insights as well. Joey, I just want to mention two quick things here before the news hour is over, or the hour is over, and that is there's this notion out there, particularly from the folks that are not supportive of immigration reform, and they use this argument that says, well, a lot of these folks don't want to be Americans. They don't want to be part of us. They don't want to be part of our communities. I would argue that it's completely the opposite. I think people are very much eager to be part of a community that they're carrying out their livelihoods in. I would also argue that folks, particularly first, second, third, and fourth generation Latinos, are very patriotic. My son is a second lieutenant in the U.S. Marine Corps. I'm very proud of him. And the participation of the Latino population historically in this country in our military forces is quite exemplary. So we're a patriotic group.
We will continue to be a patriotic group. And I think that as pathways develop for people to interact with other members of the community, whether racially or ethnic groups, more and more people will come to understand that that indeed is who we are.
Yeah. Let me ask you, I wasn't meaning to ask this at this time, but are there, Enrique, is there a disagreement in the Latino community, the Hispanic community in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, over whether we should have comprehensive immigration reform? Or is there a segment of the population that says, go to the back of the line, I got here legally, you shouldn't have come here illegally?
Yes, I mean, there's a small segment of that sentiment there. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we're a large enough population that we have a diversity of opinions. But I would argue somewhere in the neighborhood of the high 70s, low 80s, percent of Latinos in the state of Wisconsin are supportive of comprehensive immigration reform. And so that, yes, there is a minority point of view, and I think there should be a minority point of view in any kind of issue.
Well, let's welcome in our next guest, a lifelong resident of Milwaukee and a UW-Madison graduate who works for the Wisconsin Business Initiative. And let me welcome in Benny Perez Reyes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So you are a UW-Madison graduate, but you moved back to Milwaukee. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So why'd you do that?
I think the strong sense of family. I was born and raised here in the city of Milwaukee and felt strong ties here back to Milwaukee, and I felt it was just a natural move after I graduated from college to move back to the city.
Yeah, and you think there are a lot of good things going on in Milwaukee that don't get their due publicity?
I think so. I think there's a lot of great things. I think one of the things that I've had the fortune of having is a vast network of friends. While I was in college, I joined a fraternal organization and have brothers from across the nation. And when they come and visit Milwaukee, they're very surprised that, you know, we're not, although we're the dairyland, that we're not surrounded by farms, that there's actually things to do in the city of Milwaukee. And they have a lot of fun when they're here.
Yeah. So tell us just in general what you'd like us to know. We're asking everybody, what has your experience living in Wisconsin, living in Milwaukee and Madison? What's it been like for you?
Sure. I think you take the good with the good with the bad. I think strong Midwest values. I think that's something that's here in the city of Milwaukee. That there are great things that happen within the city of Milwaukee. I think the diversity that I've had the pleasure of having is something that's been awesome. I mentioned that my upbringing was rather diverse. My parents both are educators. I work for the Milwaukee Public School System, and made it a point to make sure that my siblings and I were exposed to different cultures, different ethnicities, and had the ability to know who we are as well. We grew up obviously in the United States. It was very important for my parents to for me and my siblings to have speak the language, obviously speak English, but at the same time, all of our languages, our first languages were Spanish. We learned two languages simultaneously, as well as were informed rather early in life of the different cultural differences that we were bringing up with, heavily involved with music and language at the same time. So I think Milwaukee's been great in that respect for me. I think it's obviously it does have a bad rap just because of the obvious things that people talk about as far as being a segregated city. But I think there are segments of the population within Milwaukee who are very open and very willing to learn.
All right. Well, I wish we had more time, but we don't. Benny, thanks very much for being with us. I want to go to Jack in La Crosse as our next caller, and we have one more guest to bring on as well. But Jack, Jack, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Here in western Wisconsin, we have a very vibrant Hispanic community, and amazingly, a group of Anglos, through donations, built a shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, which brings thousands of Hispanics here, as well as thousands of Anglos, and it's a delight to see everybody get along. The Hispanic community that I see in western Wisconsin has the same family values, the same work ethic as anybody else does. They have the same American dream. And I'm always reminded of a phrase I heard in Spanish. I can't say it in Spanish, but it basically says, the only reason we don't love you is we haven't met you yet. And I really think that we see that blending coming together with visitors at the shrine and more in western Wisconsin. So I think things will do well.
Very nice. Very quick response to that, Enrique.
I've been to the shrine more than once, and it's a very, very nice place. And I appreciate very much Jack's comments because I think they're right on. I mean, I think that our values as a group of society are very similar to the founding values of our country. So I hope the more people realize that and understand that, I think the better we're all going to be.
Yeah, and we have one more guest with just a minute or so to go. Zonia Lopez-Krostowski is with us now. Good morning. Zonia, are you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Okay. So tell us about life in Milwaukee for you. What's it like? Has it been a good experience?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be in your show. Good morning to everyone. It's beautiful. City of Milwaukee is like big cities have everything, have the huge infrastructure, and have beautiful places, but the only thing don't have from the big cities is the traffic. We can't drive in around, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful city. It's a...
I really wish we had more time, but we don't. What is the one thing you would like everyone to know about Hispanics?
Okay, you know what? All the Hispanic, we pay taxes. We are not, not all the Hispanics are Mexican. We have a lot of cultures here. We are a hard worker. A call or headache don't stop to go to work. And a couple of decades, the immigrants came here for economic reasons, but now we are coming for the same reason, but we're coming with college education. We are looking a better life for our families, and we are doing positive things here.
Thank you very much, Sonia. I'm sorry we don't have more time. And Enrique Figueroa, thank you so much for being with us as well. And thank you for listening. And thanks, Robin Cherry, and to Justin Williams for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.